So how do you create a brand that truly represents who you are and the products you sell, as well as building a business that you can scale online? That is what this podcast will help you do. My name is Henry Kaminsky Jr., and welcome to the Brand Doctor Podcast. Let me just make this statement loud and clear. Jersey's here. Jersey's here. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Brand Doctor Podcast episode. Today, we have a very special guest, a very unique guest. When he came across my email, I said, we got to have this guy on. He's got such a fun story, and how he's taken this story and made it relevant in the NFT space has been remarkable. So without further ado, I want to introduce Will Pemble from CoasterPunks.com. What is going on, Will?
All right. Well, I got to start, Henry, by saying you've got the coolest intro of like any show. So I was just like, ding, ding,
ding. Thank you. I saw you bopping to the
beat. You're your own warm-up band.
I love it. Listen, get ready, guys, because this guy is full of energy. I could tell already that this is going to be a fun show. So I want to kick off the show by talking about the origin story of how you became the quote-unquote coaster dad and how that turned into Coaster Punks, which is now playing in the NFT space. So let's take from the beginning, and then we'll evolve.
Okay, so I'll give you the quickie version, just to kind of get us up to speed so we can talk about the cool stuff. Once upon a time, when my kid Lyle was about 11 years old, we had just gotten back from a summer vacation, and we went to a great adventure in Jackson, New Jersey, which is home to a roller coaster called King Ka, one of the tallest roller coasters in the world, 0 to 128 miles an hour in I think 1.8 seconds. It's fully awesome. It is so much fun. But now the vacation's over. We're back at home. School starting in a couple of days. Lyle was, pretty melancholy, and he's always been sort of a thoughtful kid. And we were sitting in the backyard, and he was like, "Man, I'm so sad it's over." It's like, I wish we had a roller coaster in the backyard. It was just a throwaway line for Lyle, right? Lyle had no expectation. You know, he's a relatively, oddly, especially given his origins, he's a very steady sort of a guy, right? He's like pretty practical. And, but I latched onto that and I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, if I build this thing, if I were to build a roller coaster in the backyard, which I had no idea how to do, if I were to build this coaster for Lyle in the backyard, two things would happen. First of all, I would be able to share with him an experience that most dads and kids never get. Most dads and kids don't ever get a roller coaster in the backyard. And so I wanted us both to have that, not just in that moment or for those couple of months that the project was going. I wanted us to have that forever. I wanted that to be part of our story. And if you know me at all, and I mean, I deeply love my children, and I can't ever get my head around how lucky I am to have them. And I wanted that to be part of it. And then at the same time, I thought to myself, kind of a smart-assy thing, but. Certainly valid. I wanted to be able to prove to my brother Larry that I'm just like a way better dad than he is. And
do I smell some competition here?
Yeah. Yes. Larry and I are best friends. We talk all the time, and we are insanely competitive with each other. You know, but it's part of the deal. And so anyway, I was like, and by the way, nailed it, right? Just like, best dad. There's a New York Times article that says I'm the world's best dad. And so that's pretty definitive. I mean, just like an objectively true fact now. So we built one, and it was fun. And there was about 180 feet of track, and we learned a whole bunch of stuff, and we learned how to do math that was important to, having fun. Turns out that math is important to all kinds of fun. Race cars, rockets, roller coasters, all sorts of stuff. And then Hackaday found it. Right. Hackaday is just like this geek website that they like call out different things. And Hackaday said, "Hey, man, check out this video," because we made little videos to show Grandma Lois. I just put up videos on YouTube. It was, again, no agenda, no plan, no I'm going to go viral, none of that. Just wanted to show off to Larry and delight my mom and play with Lyle. But Hackaday said, "Hey, man, this guy built a roller coaster." And then Guy Kawasaki said, hey, man, this guy built a roller coaster. And then Good Morning America calls and says, we'd love to roll a truck out and like do a show. And so now I'm like talking to George Stephanopoulos about backyard roller coasters. And so that was really, really fun. And I like attention, as you might have gathered by now. And so then I built a roller coaster in the front yard. And the neighbors didn't love that one as much as they love the backyard one. But and then I built a roller coaster at a friend's house. And then I built a roller coaster for the Maker Faire in San Francisco. And then Netflix called and said, hey, we're doing a show. We see you build roller coasters. Would you want to build one for a show that we're doing? And I'm like, yeah, I would. And so now there's like a Netflix show about a roller coaster. And so I have come to be known as like, you know, Coaster Dad. And I'm a marketing guy and I've got artists who work for me and stuff like that. And so I was like, dude, I need a logo, right? Ellie made cupcakes one day for her class. And so we made like the Ellie Cakes logo and boxes and everything, you know, so we brand everything. Just because it's fun.
I love it.
So this thing has taken on a life of its own. As a management consultant, people hire me to be a very highly paid, fancy-pantsy management consultant because I built a roller coaster in the backyard. I spoke at a conference called CloudFest, biggest web hosting conference, cloud services conference in Europe. And they wanted somebody who to talk about leadership, which I know about, to talk about web hosting, which I know about because I built web.com, which is a big web hosting company. And since the conference is held at Europa Park, the biggest theme park in Europe, it's held there. They wanted somebody who knew about roller coasters. I'm like, oh, well, sure. And so like I get my whole world has changed because I said, yeah, let's do it. Mm. And like in ways that I never could have planned or like, you know, plotted out on any kind of a map.
Wow. What a story. You know, that it's so unique. And I take it you're from Jersey?
We were living in Connecticut. I'm from New York. Okay. And so we're kind of back and forth. We go back and forth from Connecticut to San Francisco. And so we're sort of like, we're a little bit gypsy in that regard. So we're in both places.
Okay. All right. You mentioned you go to Great Adventure and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So what a story. You know, there you have it, guys. You know, how someone takes something from nothing, really, from a little statement from his son to creating, you know, a personal brand, creating this brand, getting all this notoriety, right? Now, let's fast forward and take me into how this developed into CryptoPunks.
Coaster Punks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Coaster Punk.
Coaster Punks is also very cool. So the way it happened is that there's a few people out in the world who build backyard roller coasters. One of the guys that I, you know, two of the people that I admire the most are a guy named Paul Gregg in Seattle. He's a grandpa, a retired Boeing aerospace engineer, and he builds beautiful, just insanely beautifully engineered backyard roller coasters for his grandkids. And there's another guy in Sao Paulo, Brazil named Gus Machado. He builds roller coasters on TikTok and he's got like 2 million TikTok followers. I'll tag him on this so that he sees it, but Gus is awesome. We were just kind of, and so there's a couple of us. And one day we were just like talking and I'm in my warehouse that I got to build Sprinter vans, which is a whole nother story. But I was sitting in the warehouse talking to one of the guys and I was like, you know, what would be cool is like, you know, this warehouse is like 55 feet by 55 feet, 25 foot ceilings. It's not huge, but it's big. Mm. Wouldn't it be cool if we built like kind of a, I don't know, like a Space Mountain sort of a ride in here? And that, you know, me, one thing starts to lead to another and we're like, well, how could we do it? Well, we'd have to do this and thing. And it's like Artemis is a moon launch project that's going on. I'm pretty excited about space stuff. Maybe we could build like a lunar habitat as part of the thing. And so we could, you know, have like, so you'd ride a rocket to the moon and then you'd be on the moon and then you'd be in the lunar habitat and that would be really cool. And then you'd have to leave the habitat for some reason, maybe an emergency or something. And so you got to get on the coaster and then there's this exciting, scary, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Ride. And then you go back to Earth, not the way you planned to, because you had to leave the hab for whatever reason. And we just like one thing led to another and we started getting ourselves very excited about this ridiculous idea. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back at work, my clients are asking me all the time, what is all this crypto, blockchain, NFT stuff that I keep hearing about? Do we need a strategy for that? And I'm like, well, I guess, I don't know. I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't have to learn anything new. But they kept asking, and I'm like, all right, so let's learn about this. And so NFT, and let's not go into what an NFT is. It's basically, we decided we were going to say, all right, we need to raise some money to do this thing because it's going to be expensive, just straight up. This is not, you know, the coaster in my backyard in California, I think we spent maybe like $15,000, $20,000, which is also expensive, right? I mean, you could get a really good used car for that. But the one we're talking about is like, this is like six figures, mid six figures. This is a several hundred thousand dollar thing that we're thinking about building here. And, you know, projection mapping and, you know, just like way, way over the top.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, you know what? What if we were to like sell memberships? What if we were to take like an NFT and we'll do some art or something? And so somebody could buy an NFT, a Coaster Punks NFT. Mm-hmm. And then they wouldn't be owners of the project, right? And so we're not selling shares in the project or anything like that, but they would be members of the Coaster Punks, you know, club, if you will. And as a member of the club, you might be able to come and ride the ride or come and, you know, join us on a build day, come help us build the thing, or come and meet with one of the folks on the team is Carrie Byron. She's one of the original Mythbusters, and she found out about this project, and she's like, "Dude, I want in on this. It's fantastic." And so, you know, it's like, come meet Carrie, work with Carrie on a day. We'll have VIP tours to Disneyland because we all love Disneyland, and it's really fun to get the like the fancy stuff. And so, the thing about an NFT is you can build this crazy world. Where like traditional, oh, well, I'm going to go to, you know, SpaceX and I'm going to give them a proposal in the conference room and I'm going to see if I can get a grant for the thing. And it's just like, you know, I spend plenty of time in conference rooms. I'm not, I'm not going there to beg for money.
Yeah.
So the Coaster Punks project is this way that we can tell our story of the coaster that we want to build. And we're also going to build a 200,000 watt solar farm, which is enough to, which will provide about 400 years of energy for like American homes.
Wow. So
20 American homes for 20 years. And then Carrie's company Explore Media is going to film the thing, is going to film the project. It's going to be called Project Moonshot because the name of the coaster is Moonshot. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to create STEM and STEAM education series, educational television that'll stream to 2 million middle school and high school students through Carrie's production company, Explore Media. And Carrie is going to be the executive producer of the show. And that's like miracle stuff, right? Yeah. Who could imagine? And so that's what the whole thing is doing. We're going to release the NFT on June 20th, which is a June 20th, 2022. You'll be able to go to coasterpunks.com and purchase one of these memberships to the Coaster Punks thing. And there's all sorts of, everybody's going to get a t-shirt, bro. It's like, branding, right? So it's a lot. And so what's cool to me about the NFT, and again, if we can dig into the tech if you want to, and we don't have to if you don't want, but what's cool to me about the NFT is it's just your membership card. And if I want, I can, you know, let's say I live in LA, the launch party's in Connecticut where we're building the coaster and I can't go, I could sell you my membership card. I can just sell that to you because you live in Connecticut and then maybe you can go, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole lot of flexibility and interesting stuff that happens when you start working in this kooky crypto blockchain NFT world. And it is as much fun to play with as, you know, steel tubing benders and CNC laser cutting tables and all of the other stuff that we're going to deploy to make this project come true.
It's crazy. I'm thinking here, I'm sitting here going, you know, quirky attracts quirky, right? That's what I'm thinking to myself. And I'm like, this is brilliant because this is you being laser focused on something that's somewhat of a passion, you know, and otherwise you would be doing it, you know, and it's attracting all of this other stuff. It's funny you mentioned how you attracted Kerry. You know, I'm a huge food guy. I love food. I grew up eating great food, and I was like, I need to connect with other foodies. And lo and behold, 6 years ago, we run into celebrity chef Fabio Viviani at one of his restaurants. And 6 years later, we're now in business together, you know, doing some really cool stuff. And it just goes to show, like, when you're really passionate about something and you put it out there, you know, like anything else, energy is going to radiate and it's going to bring back similar. You know, and that's what I try to tell everybody on this podcast is what you put out is what you're going to get back, and you might get it back tenfold, like the success you're having now with all of this cool stuff that seems quirky to most, but really cool, and how you're leveraging the new tech, and it's beyond me.
Yeah, no, it's and what you say there. I mean, I've never been motivated by money. I've been very lucky, very fortunate, you know, just like straight up, you know, fell ass backwards into all sorts of wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. But I've never really cared about money one way or the other. You know, Liz has always asked me, hey, what did that cost? It's like, I just don't know. She's like, you just signed the credit card receipt. I was like, I got nothing. And so for me, like, money has always been like, it's an obstacle. I need some to get something.
Okay.
Or it's a side effect. I got some money because I did something useful. And my, just like what you said, my approach, the way I've sort of like put language to my approach to being useful is, I want for you all the things that I want for me. And so I work as hard as I can to make sure that you get the things that I want for me. And then by some weird, I don't know, call it the secret, call it the universe, call it, I don't know, I'm just taken care of. And I don't have to worry about getting mine, right? I just have to worry about you getting yours, right? My goal in this conversation is to make sure that you can deliver awesome content to your listeners. And that's my goal.
So, Will,
we can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because I'm here for you.
I'm so happy you bring this up, because I think that's where a lot of business owners, content creators, that's where they get stuck, because they don't have that mentality. I heard something Gary Vaynerchuk said a couple days ago. He said something along the lines of, people don't want community, they want customers. And stop trying to BS everybody that you want to build this big community. No, you don't. You want to build an audience so you can sell to them. Like, just say what it is, right? And he goes, I could see the people that really love community versus the people that just want customers through their communication. And so that's very important. So I have to ask you, where did that mindset come from? Where did that mentality come from? Is that something that you saw your parents do one day and it was sort of handed down to you? Or was there a compelling event that happened in your life where you were like, oh, I see how this works, and then you just started implementing that?
I probably learned it. I mean, my mom has always been super generous, super kind, super caring. My house was where we grew up, in this teeny little house, right? I say I was raised by the wolves, right? I grew up in a single parent home with two sisters and one bathroom, right? And because you were raised by the wolves, there's like nothing about women that like scares me, right? I'm good with it, and I'm in awe, but not scared. And
I love it.
So, but everybody would come to our teeny little house in Ossining, New York, and everybody would hang out there. And whenever anybody would hang out there, Lois would put us all to work. I mean, you know, me and Adam would, you know, she sent us out in the front yard to dig a 4-foot deep hole so that we could plant a tree, and we would paint stuff. And we always had worked. You know, I'm like, Mom, please don't make my friends do work. It's just embarrassing. But they kept coming back all the time. And what she was teaching us is that if you do things for other people, you can't feel sorry for yourself. You can't be stressed. If I'm trying to make sure that this show is the best show you ever did, if I'm worried about that, if I'm worried about your thing, my thing doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to worry about it. It takes care of itself. And so I would say, and you, and thanks for bringing that story to me, because I hadn't thought about that for quite a while. But that's, you know, so Lois taught me that. Lois taught me that by asking me to do chores, by asking me for help. And so like, never asking for help isn't part of it. If you ask people for help, you're giving them an opportunity to get out of themselves a little bit. And that's a gift. Yeah. So, and like, I just got back from VCon, right? I went to Gary's.
How was that?
I went to Gary's conference. It was.
That was in Minnesota, right?
It was a US Bank Stadium. I was like, I'm in the Vikings pro shop, and I send Lyle a text. I was like, hey man, you want anything? He was like, no, but do send me pictures of the stadium.
Because that's going in our backyard there.
but what I saw was some examples of what you were talking about, because Gary has expertly, brilliantly leveraged his following, his community, his fans. I mean, it was kind of hilarious, right? I mean, because like half the people there were just like mini Garys, right? With the hat on backwards and the sweatshirt. I mean, they're just like,
how funny.
It was funny. But Gary, that entire event was Gary's execution of what you just said. He has a community and he turned those into customers, right? And yes, he loves his people. You get around him and you know he loves the people who got him here, and he's, you know, he is the real deal, and he's passionate and wonderful, and you know, and it's like I'm a fan of Gary V. I'm a bigger fan of Tony Robbins, but I'm a pretty big fan of Gary. Mm-hmm. So the lesson there is that Gary didn't start, you know, in 2006 with Wine Library or whatever his origin story is. He didn't start out thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build this community because 15 years from now, there's going to be this new technology and I'm going to be able to sell a whole lot of stuff to these things. That's not what he did. He built a community talking about things that he loved, that he cared about, that he was passionate about, and got no attention for years and years and years. And then people started to find him, or they started to find one another. And then he went about the business, you know, and he got good at media along the way. And that's why VaynerMedia exists. And he got good at, and so the importance of community and Vaynerchuk, VaynerMedia is all about personal brand, right? It's all about Gary Vee. And you can like that or you can not like that. I mean, he has a very specific, very narrow demographic to my way of thinking, but it works for him and there's plenty of them. So when people talk about personal branding, you know, I'll sit around and I'll often say to myself in my more sarcastic moments, I'll say, you know, goddamn it, if I hear one more person talk about being authentic, I'm going to fucking kill myself. Right? Because it's like, you know, you can't talk about how authentic you are and still be authentic. It just doesn't work. It's not possible, but somebody read it in a book, or somebody read it in a list of 10 things you need to do to get famous on social media and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, and none of that ever pans out, right? There's, you have to be, from my perspective, and you know way more about this. Let me phrase it as a question. Here's my theory, and you tell me if you think it's right or correct me.
I love it.
I think that to build a personal brand, especially on social media, you have to be attractive. And that can take a lot of forms. The most obvious form is you just be young and beautiful, right? That's attractive, right? It's not easy to be young and beautiful. You don't have a lot to, you know, it's like you either win that genetic lottery or you don't. Or you can be interesting, or you can be, you know, you can stir the pot. You can do, you know, all of these things. But in one way or another, I think branding is about being attractive, because if you're attractive, people come to you, and then what you do with that is sort of like your next step. But personal branding is about finding ways to be attractive. So that's what I think.
And not in the physical sense is what you're saying.
Not necessarily in the physical is like, you know, it's like, you know, anybody scrolling Instagram knows that physical works like gangbusters. And by the way, since all of time, yeah, being physically, yeah, attractive is, yeah, the best way, the easiest way, the most direct way to be attractive.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of other ways to be attractive. You know, this? No, right? People aren't just going to like watch me. It's just like, it's not happening, bro. But I build roller coasters and I have fun and I do kooky, yeah, stuff, and, yeah, people connect with me in these, on these other levels, mm-hmm, because I've developed this, you know, or I am this, you know, thing, person, being, whatever, mm-hmm, brand,
yeah,
that attracts a certain type of person. Those are my people. That's my community.
Yeah. Character is the word that I like to use a lot because, okay, you know, you have a lot of character. I could tell right away in this conversation, I looked at some of your YouTube videos and I saw the way that you were interacting and I was like, yeah, this guy has a great character about him. He's got an aura, he's got a presence, and it's him. Like, you could tell he's not trying to be somebody else. He's not trying to, and that's the key. Right. I think that took me a lot of work and it took me a lot of time growing up in Jersey where everything is flash. Everything, well, where I grew up, everything was flash. Everything, yeah, was like, you had to have this, you had to have that, or you were a wannabe. And I went through that entrepreneur wannabe phase for a while. And it taught me a lot about life. It taught me a lot about business. And what works and what doesn't work. And I'm happy that I went through those pains because now I can talk about it candidly on the show and hopefully share some wisdom with people so that they don't have to necessarily go through that, right? So I like that you get branding because it has brought you a lot of success. And I'm just so happy that you talked about what you talked about today because it's a very candid approach and it's a very candid way of speaking about branding where everybody's thinking colors and this and that, and you have to sound like this and look like this, and the video lens needs to be this kind, and that's not the case.
Yeah. I mean, those things are, yeah, let's not, I wouldn't take away from those things. I think those are important. Commercial art is a real thing and, sure, it's important, and it's, you can do it well and you can do it poorly. My feeling is you should definitely pick one end of that graph or the other. Don't get anywhere in the middle, right? If you're going to do it shitty, own that.
Yeah.
But like one of the funniest things, and so one of my little side hustles, like I build Sprinter vans for I build these like $350,000 Sprinter vans.
So you do the interior decked out.
Yeah, I turn them into like fancy campers.
Got it.
And I was talking to this one guy and he was talking, you know, the kids were thinking of a name. His kids were thinking of a name for this van. And he says, well, they know I hate snakes. And so they want to name it the Silver Spotted Anaconda. And these are twin six-year-old boys. And they think that's just hilarious. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is the funniest thing in the world. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to get on a Zoom call with you and your wife and your two sons. And I want to get Igor, who's my number one commercial artist. And I want to get Sharon, who's my branding person. I want to get all of us on the call. And I want the boys to be the client, and we're going to have a brand identity meeting.
Okay.
And we're going to ask all the questions. We're going to figure out why Silver Spotted Anaconda is a thing. We're going to find out what kind of colors we want to have. We're going to do all of that. And we're going to come up with a style guide and a logo and fonts and all of this stuff. And of course, if we have a logo, we're going to make a decal and put that on a van. If we have a decal on a van, of course, we're going to need shirts and hats, and we're going to have to make a flag and all that. I was like, but I couldn't think of anything more fun than to have this like super serious grown up business brand conversation where a couple of 6-year-olds are the customer.
They're never going to forget it. I mean, listen, they're never going to,
that's
never
the
gonna
only forget. Thing that's been missing from every one of these meetings that's ever happened. Like, get some 6-year-olds in here.
I love it.
They think the whole thing is hilarious and joyful. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think, you know, how much of that can we bring to, because if you can bring, you know, serious, hardcore understanding of how commercial art works and how brand works and how user experience works and all of those things. And I understand those things. Some I've bought a lot of it and directed a lot of it over the years. Mm-hmm. But if you can take that serious marketing, branding stuff, and then smear a shitload of just ridiculous, silly joy on top of it, I don't see how you can come out with anything other than just like amazing, amazing work.
Yeah. When you enjoy what you do, I just took up this year. Every year I like to like focus on something and try to get decent at it. And videography was one of them, right? So I'm studying YouTube videos. I bought a drone and I'm just out there having a damn blast with it. And now people are going, huh, I should call you to, next project I have. I see you're getting right. And I'm like, listen, I'm not putting this out there to try to drum up business. I don't even feel comfortable charging for it. I just love taking something and showing it from a different perspective and taking it from a different angle and then putting it all together and making a story out of it. Like I just love it. I just got back from California and we were down in Newport Beach and that was like my playground with the drone. Almost got in trouble a couple of times, but but the joy that comes out of me taking all these snippets and then putting them together to create this story is just, you can't mess that up. And I could see it because people are like, wow, you only been doing this for 5 months. I'm like, yeah. And clearly you love it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And like you said,
you're going to be good at it. And if you don't love it, you're not going to be good at it. And that's like the straight up, that's the straight up fact of it. But particularly like Vayner's thing or an NFT project, those, you know, everybody's these days in the whole NFT branding space. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh, you need a community. And like, you can't fake that, right? No. You can't fake. And really what community is it's, you know, a large group of people's response to your personal brand.
Yeah.
And like, I've just never been able, dude, I can't sit through an awkward conversation without, you know, and I just like, I can't do anything that I don't want to do. Yeah. And I've been lucky enough in life to where I really don't have to do much that I don't want to do. And so it makes me even worse. And so like, I have to be me. And so whenever I talk to somebody who's like, I really need to figure out how to build this thing or this business or what's my brand going to be. I'm like, dude, you need to like find your oldest, bestest friend. And if you're a drinker, have two or three beers and with as much potty mouth as possible, describe your business to your friend while you're just a little bit drunk. That should be your brand because you can lean into that, right? You can bring that effectively, dependably, reliably, no matter what mood you're in, because it's the real you.
Yeah.
And people will respond to it, right? Plenty of people fucking hate me.
Yeah.
That's fine because plenty of people love me too.
Yeah.
And then my job is to find the people in the middle and move them one way or the other.
That's right. That's right. So, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. This was such an awesome conversation. Like I could talk to you for hours and not get tired of this. Let me ask you this. I always ask, you know, everybody knows I ask this one final question to all my guests. Sure. And it's, what is the one business challenge that you are working through this year that in hopes by the end of the year, you got a wrangle on it or you've succeeded and accomplished that goal? Or defeated that challenge, if you will.
Yeah. The one that's an easy one. That's an easy one for me, particularly this year, since we've kind of moved into this NFT space, right? Mm-hmm. So NFTs are super controversial, right? You know, the Bitcoin blockchain uses more electricity than Finland. And that's, I'm pretty sure that's a true fact too. And that's a horrible thing. And it needs to be corrected. It will be. So the big business challenge for me is like Coaster Punks is about teaching kids physics and math in a way that's fun. Coaster Punks is about teaching kids that they can do or be any fucking thing they want, anything they want. They can dream anything and go out and make it come true. And that has never been more true than it is today. And it'll be even more true tomorrow. So, and like, you know, this, I met this kid, Gus Machado, who I mentioned, he's this TikTok guy in Brazil. He's got 2 million followers on TikTok. He builds roller coasters. I reached out to just do a Zoom call with this guy. And cause I wanted to meet him and I get on the Zoom with him. He's 19 years old. I get on the Zoom call with him and he goes, oh my God, it's you. I'm like, what? He was like, I've been watching your videos since I was 14 years old. You taught me how to build backyard roller coasters. I go to engineering school because of you. You made me want to be an engineer. And this guy's eyes are just like wide open, right? I mean, he is totally starstruck. And dude, I'm about to cry because I never intended to do anything but like share an adventure with Lyle and tease my brother. But what I did
across the globe,
dude. And that's the one that I found out about. And so like what you do changes lives, especially if you put it out there. Your personal brand changes lives. It's a huge opportunity and a huge responsibility. So in the NFT space now, and so that's what I want. I want more Gus Machados out there. I want to change lives of people I've never met. I want to teach kids that amazing things are possible. And I want to help them get there. And that's the heart of my heart. I'm trying to do it in this, forgive me, I'm getting it done in the NFT space, but it's a little bit, I don't know if you ever saw the show Deadwood, right? It's a little bit like being the sheriff in Deadwood. He's like a totally good guy, but everybody else in Deadwood is horrible. Right? So the real challenge this year is finding ways to navigate this highly controversial, brand new, weirdo
space,
business, technical landscape. Mm-hmm. The technical part is so easy for me because I've seen it all, you know, none of it is new. Mm. We'll get into that one day. But that's the thing is like, how do the big challenge is how do I navigate this cultural, technical business landscape in a way that exemplifies the amazing amount of good that can be done using this technology, because it needs to be done, right? We can't just have the criminals in Deadwood, right? We need the good guys. Yeah. Because the good guys eventually either manage the scumbags.
Yep.
Or some of them even learn, it's like, oh wow, maybe I don't even have to be a scumbag. Mm-hmm. And so that's the big challenge is navigating this artfully, gracefully, and by the way, successfully, because I'm really good at being successful.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge, and I'll absolutely crush it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I always ask that question because one, it's R&D for me, but two, I know that there's other people watching this and listening to this going, I have the same problem in my space, you know, and now they feel connected to you on a different level because you share the same challenge. That's why I always like to ask that question at the end anytime I have a guest, because it's insightful. It really is. It's insightful. And
thanks. I hadn't thought about it. I'm grateful for the question because this is like the fourth or fifth one of those you've given me, you know, fourth or fifth gift you've given me today. Is your questions are really good, and they force me to think about stuff that's in there, but I hadn't framed it like that. And so you've given me so many new ways to think about some of the really important things that are happening in my world right now. I'm just super grateful for that.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate you for delivering such a fantastic show and being one of the best guests I've ever had.
Woo! All right. Well, I'll try harder next time.
Well, there you have it, guys. Will Pemble from CoasterPunks.com. Go follow him. Where can we find you?
Straight up, just go to CoasterPunks.com. I'm everything at Will Pemble. So Twitter, Will Pemble, LinkedIn, Will Pemble, YouTube, Will Pemble. You can do all of those things. The key takeaway here, though, is like go to CoasterPunks.com and join the gang, right?
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, you heard the man. Go do that right now before you get too busy. Have an amazing day, and we will catch you on the next one real soon. Take care. Hey everyone, this is Henry Kaminsky Jr. again, and really quick, I want to invite you to a one-on-one consult with me right now. If you're looking for the clarity and focus you need to build your brand. Over the past 13 years, I've served hundreds of entrepreneurs that have great products but struggled tremendously with articulating its value to their ideal customers. You didn't get into business to just change a few lives, did you? Your ideal clients need you. And when your brand has precision-crafted messaging coupled with beautifully thoughtful design that sounds, looks, and feels like you, they'll know you're the perfect match for them. If this is something you're struggling with, what I want you to do right now is pause this audio and go visit www.uniquedesigns, with a Z at the end, not an S, .net, and book your one-on-one consult call with me. Remember, the quality of your brand will determine the quality of your clients, and the quality of your clients will determine the quality of your life.